the Philippines now classified as low risk for COVID-19. That says the country is set to begin trials for the mixing and matching of COVID-19 jabs. Local pump prices going up for the ninth straight week. And later on in the program, we'll be joined by two senatorial candidates, Sorsogon Governor Francis Escudero and former Bayan Muna Representative Nery Colmenares. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with this update on the battle against the pandemic. The Philippines now classified as low risk for COVID-19. The health department said almost all areas in the country have seen declines in cases. Only six regions remain under moderate risk classification. On Sunday, the country recorded just over 5,000 fresh COVID-19 infections. This brings the country's total to nearly 2,757,000. Almost 61,000 are active cases. The local death toll from this pandemic now at nearly 42,000. The decline in the number of daily COVID-19 cases in the Philippines being driven by the country's wider vaccination program. That's according to the Okta Research Group. It says the number of average daily infections nationwide declined last week by 35% to 4,500. That's down from 8,400 in the previous week. They also note the country's COVID-19 reproduction number is now at 0.52.
Medyo marami na tayong nabakunahan. Aside from that, meron din mga ano, yung mga may dala na ng antibodies dahil previously infected na sila. Pag pinagsama natin ito, maaaring hindi pa tayo siguro nasa herd immunity, pero medyo malapit na tayo, nasa population protection na tayo. Hindi pa tayo nakakita ng spike dito sa alert level 3. Mm-hmm. Pero hindi naman ibig sabihin na pwede na tayong magpabaya.
The Philippines set to begin mixing and matching COVID-19 vaccines. A dry run for the inoculation of different jabs will begin this week in Muntinlupa and Davao. Brands that will be mixed are those that have already been used in the country's immunization program.
Ang meron lang tayo is approval for the clinical trial. So ang mga imi-mix and match natin, yung mga locally available na ginagamit dito sa ating national immunization program. So, pwedeng Sinovac followed by Pfizer, Sinovac followed by Moderna, and so on. So, yun yung 2-dose. Tapos, merong version na 3-dose na Sinovac, tapos Pfizer, Sinovac, tapos Moderna, and so on.
Results of the trials are expected to be released by December or early next year. In other countries, testing of mixed COVID-19 vaccines yielded positive results, but the practice is still uncommon. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization expected to make recommendations on the use of booster shots in the Philippines next month. The WHO's representative to the Philippines reiterates it does not recommend a third jab for the general population yet. The WHO notes it is only advocating rolling out third doses for immunocompromised individuals for now.
Our recommendation is we start with the most severely immunocompromised, we start with the over 80s, then move to the over 70s, and finally to the over 60s. A third dose for immunocompromised or elderly people who've received Sinovac and Sinopharm. I like to clarify that what we are recommending is a third dose and not a booster dose. This is different from a booster. When we are talking boosters, we are talking of boosting the immunity in a general form. This is not what WHO is at this point of time.
Vice President Lenny Robredo again calling on government to improve its pandemic response. Robredo believes the shortcomings are in the vaccination program and preparations for the wider implementation of the alert level system. She also cited the delayed benefits for health workers.
ang daming sinasayang na pera para sa kung ano-anong bagay, ito, ito yung pinakakailangan natin ngayon. Hindi inaasikaso. Last year pa, di ba? Hindi pa dumadating yung mga bakuna. Lagi na natin itong pinapag-usapan dito sa programa. Na hindi pa dumadating yung bakuna, sana ayusin na yung logistics na kailangan, yung deployment.
Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio met with 2022 presidential aspirant former Senator Ferdinand Marcos Jr. in Cebu over the weekend. Duterte Carpio says they discussed how her party, the Hukbong ng Pagbabago, can help with Marcos's presidential bid. But she clarified there were no talks on a possible tandem. She also reiterated that she is not joining the presidential race. Still, the Secretary General of the Kusi wing of the PDP Laban says many things can still happen before the deadline of substitution on November 15.
Sa ngayon po, ang pinaghahandaan talaga ng partido, yung po kami ng tandem ng Senator Bato at Senator Bongo as President and Vice President respectively. Kaya wala pong pag-uusap kung sino pa po yung pwedeng i-adapt o magiging kapalit. Pero sabi ko nga, alam naman natin pare-parehas, hanggang November 15, anything is a possibility.
Some senators expected to file a bill this week seeking amendments to the deadline of substitution for candidates. Senator Sherwin Gatchalian says they will propose removing withdrawal as one of the grounds for substitution, both for the national and local levels.
There are two, no? Disqualification and withdrawal. So we'll remove the withdrawal. That's not the spirit of the law. And the spirit of the law is once you file, you've filed, no? And you don't place placeholders in order to prolong the deadline. The substitution rule has become a tool for political use, no? And that's not supposed to be.
A significant number of substitutions have already been filed for the 2022 elections. Though no exact figure has been given, Commission on Elections spokesperson James Jimenez says majority are for local positions. The COMELEC is expecting even more substitutions as the deadline approaches.
So far, yung nakapag-file na po, hindi siya more than usual, no? Pero expected natin na towards the end of the period, dadami yan. And siguro by that point, masasabi natin, mas madalas ang substitution sa halalan na ito.
Well, our first guest today is one of the most sought-after 2022 senatorial candidates. Sorsogon Governor and former Senator Francis Escudero has been included as a guest candidate in several senatorial slates. But is that really a good thing? Governor Escudero now joins us here on the program. Governor, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Carmina, magandang hapon sa lahat ng televiewers natin. Magandang hapon at pagbati mula sa lalawigan ng Sorsogon.
I just described you as one of the most sought-after senatorial candidates. What's your explanation for that? Why do you think they want you on their slate?
Sa henerasyon natin, Carmina, kilala na natin ang personal na katrabaho, karamihan ng mga tumatakbo ngayon. At personal kong kilala, halos lahat ng tumatakbo at nakatrabaho na. Para sa akin, positibong aspeto yun, looking at it afterwards, dahil kung posibleng mag-aisa ang mga kandidato sa isa, dalawa o tatlong mga kandidato sa iba't ibang pwesto, baka posible rin mag-aisa sila pagkatapos ng eleksyon, sino man ang manalo. Dahil kailanganin nila ang tulong ng bawat isa. Hindi kakayanin, Carmina, ng isang presidente lamang, ng partido lang niya, ng grupo niya na harapin ang laki ng problema ang dinala sa atin ng COVID.
But what does that tell you? What does that tell the public, though, Governor, about your resolve, your principles, your agenda, given that you appear in several slates? At this point, you appear officially in Lacson, Pacquiao, and Robredo slates.
Pagpapatunay siguro, Carmina, na sa trabaho namin, nakita nilang makakatulong ako, sino man ang manalo sa kanila sa darating na halalan. dagdag pa siguro doon, Carmina, sino mang nag-aalok ng tulong sa pamamagitan ng pag-ampon sa kandidatura? Wala sigurong kandidato magsasabing ayoko at hindi ko kailangan ng tulong ninyo. Ika nga, pag sinabing i-adopt ka, ang sagot palagi doon, Carmina, ay pasasalamat. At yun ang ginawa ko sa lahat na nag-ampon ng kandidatura ko so far. Pinasalamatan ko lahat, both privately and publicly.
Pasasalamat. Pero nasaan po ang prinsipyo? Tanong ng ilan, Governor?
Carmina, wala pa namang pagpapasa at desisyon. Karimihan sa ating mga botante, hindi pa rin naman nagpapasa kung sino ang iboboto nila. Sa totoo lang, lahat ng mga kandidato, wala pa namang inilalahad ng mga plataforma na siyang dapat basihan sa pagpili ng susunod nating magiging Pangulo. Sa mga nagdaang panahon, ako mismo nagpasa mga bandang Pebrero o Enero na. Yung pinakahuli, maliban sa kandidatura ni Senator Grace po dahil sabay kami tumakbo, nung nakaraan sa pagkapangulo ni dating Pangulong Noynoy Aquino, mga January, February na ako nagpasa na siya ang suportahan at dalhin. Bagaman kilala ko rin yung mga ibang tumatakbo. Sa ngayon, Carmina, sagot lamang sa mga katanungan ang binibigay ng mga presidential candidates mula sa media, mula sa publiko. Wala pa naman talaga naglalahad ng kumpletong plataforma kung saan sana doon natin ibase yung ating susuportan o iboboto sa darating na eleksyon.
So nangangahulugan ba, Governor, nangangahulugan ba that in, you know, as we see things progress, that eventually you will drop out of their slates, given that you appear in several slates? Or this is it, that whether or not you agree with their platform, you still welcome being part of their slate?
Yes, Carmina, and this has happened to me in the past. Kung maalala mo, nung tumakbo ko, noong 2013, nasa linyada ako ni dating Pangulong Aquino, nasa linyada din ako ni dating Pangulong Estrada, kasama si Senator Grace. Sa kalagitan ng kampanya, nagpa siya si dating Pangulong Estrada na ilaglag kami sa linyada nila. Ang kapasahan yon, Carmina, wala sa kamay ko. Nasa kamay palagi nila.
All right. Let's talk about your inclusion in the Robredo Pangilinan slate. What made you say yes to being included?
Why not, Carmina? Again, sino mang nag-aalok ng tulong sa pamamagitan ng pag-ampon ng kandidatura ko o sino mang tumatakbo, bakit mo hihindian? Dagdag pa nun, hindi may kakaila. Bagaman naglaban kami ni Vice President Robredo noong nagdaang eleksyon, tiga Bicol siya. Yung kanyang last name na Gerona ay tiga dito sa Sorsogon mismo sa Bulan. Sa katunayan, Carmina, bibisita yata si Senate CM Vice President Robredo anytime this week sa aming lalawigan. At malamang makikita kami sa pagbisita niya dito bilang ama ng lalawigan.
But then we have to talk about her running mate, Senator Francis Pangilinan. We know the history there. We know what happened when he just merely said noted to every single reservation after the elections. How were you able to go past that?
I am constrained, Carmina, to say that I am a member of the NPC. Although the NPC has not yet decided which candidate to support, Senate President Soto is the chairman of the NPC, although he has not yet convened a meeting to formally decide as a party who the party will support. That's what I told you initially when the interview began, that the NPC as a party has not yet decided. And usually they decide late too, sometime in March, sometime in April probably. That's when the NPC will decide. But the decision of the NPC, Carmina, can be either supporting a particular candidate or allowing the members to choose whom to support, given that there is no NPC presidential candidate, although there is an NPC vice presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm. So is that how it goes, Governor, that you just have to learn how to compartmentalize things in your path to the Senate, if you so win?
I don't call it compartmentalizing, Carmina. I'd rather call it as a process that people have to go through, because at the end of the day, whomsoever will win, they will come from various and different parties and they have to be able to work together, work with each other. In fact, even with those who even lost this will be losing this coming elections, we need the help of everyone in order to put our country forward again, given the pandemic and the crisis brought about by the pandemic. So the process, which encompasses only 90 days, is actually short compared to the 6 years that officials will be sitting in various positions, or 3 years for local posts.
Mm. All right. Now, I just want to go back to an earlier question, Governor.
Yes, ma'am.
You were spokesperson of the late Fernando Poe Jr. When he ran for the presidency. And we all know what happened there, right? It's still very vivid how Senator Francis Pangilinan there just took note of every single reservation. So again, my question, how are you able to go above that, beyond that, and find yourself included in the Robredo Pangilinan slate?
Carmina, we don't have to agree on everything. We don't have to have a perfect relationship and agree on everything in order to be able to work together. It's quite possible, and it's not only possible, it's actually what's happening. You can work with other people in terms of things that you get along with and can work together, and you can also agree to disagree. That happens between husbands and wives, and that happens between parents and their children, more so between public servants and politicians and public officials.
Hmm. So let me go back to your inclusion in several slates now, Governor. Will you see whoever wins, right? The fact that they included you in their slate, tatanawin niyo ho ba yun na utang na loob? And how will this translate, if you so win, in the agenda that you will pursue at the Senate?
Mula, Carmina, utang ko palagi anumang posisyon ko sa anumang pwesto sa bumoto sa akin at hindi bumoto sa akin. Tigi-tigi sa lahat ng boto. Ikaw isang boto, ako isang boto, si Vice President Robredo isang boto, Senator Pacquiao isang boto, Mayor Isko isang boto. That's the most that come election day they can actually give me. Ang utang na loob dapat ng lahat ng mananalo sa anumang eleksyon. Sa botante nila, sa constituents nila na naglagay sa kanila sa pwesto. Hindi sa kahit na sino pa man na automatic na kahit malina, pikit mata kang susunod. Kahit malina, nasasara mo ang bibig mo at mabubusa lang ka at hindi ka na magsasalita. I have never been like that in any of the positions I've held in government.
I want to go back to when you ran for the vice presidency together with Senator Grace Poe. At that time, you included Nery Colmenares in your slate, correct?
That is correct, Carmina.
And what do you make of what is happening now to Nery Colmenares and the bloc? His non-inclusion in the slate of Robredo and Pangilinan.
I saw Nery's statement. He said he respects the decision of the vice president and that his group respects his non-inclusion in her slate. Kung sa kanya mismo ginagalang niya, walang rason para hindi ko rin galangin dahil hindi naman ako bahagi noong nagpa siya kung sinong masasama at hindi masasama sa grupo. Pero sa paniniwala ko, tuloy ang kandidatura ni Nery at hindi siya mag-withdraw sa kanyang kandidatura sa pagka-senador. Hindi pa naman tapos na nabubuo lahat ng mga slate, Carmina. So, intayin natin itong mga susunod pang araw. I think there are about 2 more presidentiables or 3 more presidentiables that are yet to announce their senatorial slate.
Why was it easy for you and Senator Grace Poe to include Attorney Colmenares in your slate then?
Because our policy at that time was inclusion, to be able to include various persuasions so that we can come up with a platform and we can come up with a mode of governance that would encompass all the various sectors, even sometimes competing sectors. I think, Carmina, that's what you're seeing in some of the slates. Kaya diba, nakikita mo, nagsama yung magkaaway dati, yung hindi magkasundo dati, and I won't mention names anymore. Simply because they wanted to include various persuasions and hope to bring to the table all of these different groups and persuasions to have a comprehensive, holistic approach to the problems being faced by our people and in our country.
There were insinuations, Governor Escudero, that you carried the bloc then, and yet they campaigned for President Duterte on the ground. Can you confirm this?
I'm not aware. I heard those allegations. Alam mo naman, pag politika, Carmina, masyadong manipis ang pasensya ng mga tao at masyadong sensitive. But that has never affected me. For sure, it's not 100%. For sure, there are some who carried their own beliefs. But I have no reason to doubt that they supported both of us, or majority at least, and the leaders supported us at that time.
There's another presidential candidate that has yet to, as you said, announce their senatorial slate. That's Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Have you been in talks with him? Will you be included in his slate?
That's his decision, Carmina. Yes, I've talked to him. I saw him at an occasion in Manila. And we had a good exchange with respect to what's going on, what he's doing. You have to understand, Carmina, we have a long relationship as well. Tumayo siyang ninong sa unang kasal ko noon. So magkakilala kami, medyo matagal-tagal na.
Yeah, and of course, your father was also one of his former, President Marcos, the late dictator's former ministers.
Yes, Carmina, and also remember that I ran also against him in the last elections because he ran for vice president as well.
So many are asking, what has he done for the country to even think of running for the presidency?
Carmina, yung requirement ng presidency ay napaka-basic. Nakita ko nga sa TikTok na mas marami pang requirements ng security guard kaysa maging pangulo ng ating bansa. Maging ganun pa man, hindi para sa akin, Carmina, na magsalita sa ngalan o sa pangalan nila. Basta't nag-comply sila sa limang requirements na tinatalaga ng saligang batas. Natural-born citizen, at least 40 years old, able to read and write, registered voter, and a resident of the Philippines. Yun ang tinalaga ng saligang batas. At kung meron ka ng limang yon, may karapatan kang tumakbo. Siguro, Carmina, masakit sa tenga ni naman ang sabihing, anong karapatan mong tumakbo? And that applies to all those who are running. Purkit ba hindi nakapagtapos? Hindi pa naman karapatan na makapagtapos sa kolehiyo sa ating bansa. Hindi ka na pwedeng tumakbo at iyala yung sarili mo, presidente man o mayor o governor. Wala namang ganun. Sa dulo, kung ayaw mo talaga sa particular na kandidato, edi huwag mong iboto. At kung gusto naman siya ng ibang tao, edi hayaan mong iboto siya. Magbibilangan naman tayo pagdating ng araw ng eleksyon at malalaman natin kung sino ang sinuportahan ng mayuriya ng mga Pilipino na siyang magsisilbi bilang pangulo ng ating bansa. When I first ran for Congress in 1998, I was asked the very same question, Carmina. Anong karapatan mong tumakbo porkit anak ka lang ng tatay mo? Lahat tayo naniniwala ko may pwedeng ialok sa bayan, nakapag-aral man o hindi, nakapagtapos man o hindi, may karanasan man o hindi, bata man o matanda, basta qualified by age under the Constitution. And let the voters decide whom they will pick. Yung nakapag-aral, hindi naman mas magaling pumili ng susunod na presidente kumpara sa hindi nakapag-aral na butante. They both have one vote each still.
You know, Governor, dadating ang panahon na kailangan kang tumaya. And with your appearance in several slates, even if you haven't appeared on Bongbong Marcos's slate yet officially, how can you assure the public that you will stand with the people and that you will be true to your principles, whatever those are, at hindi yung marami kang amo at marami kang kailangang pagbigyan?
Marami talaga akong amo, Carmina, dahil sambayan ng Pilipino ang amo ng sinumang halal na opisyal. Yun lamang ang tinuturing kong amo at nagagabayan ako palagi nun. I've been in politics and government service for the past 23 years, Carmina. And I don't think I've been accused of not having a position or not taking a stand, especially on important issues that face our people. In fact, in most of those issues, I was at the forefront, taking a particular side. I haven't been known for that. I am not like that. And surely, I will not be like that still. Again, sa dulo ang utang ng loob ng sino mang mananalo sa eleksyon, sa taong bayan na bumoto at naglagay sa kanila. Dahil mayaman man o mahirap, presidential candidate man o hindi, pangulo man o hindi, tigitigisang bote lang tayo pagdating ng eleksyon.
Sorsogon Governor Francis Chis Escudero, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate you coming to the show. Take care and you keep safe.
Thank you, Carmina, and keep safe as well.
Thanks, appreciate it. From there, we're going to take a short break. Now, when we come back, we'll be speaking with senatorial candidate Nery Colmenares for his take on the stalled efforts to unify the opposition. Stay with us. You're watching on ANC. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The Philippines now classified as low risk for COVID-19. That says the country is set to begin trials for the mixing and matching of COVID-19 jabs. And local pump prices going up for the 9th straight week. Back with more news. Another motorcade in support of Vice President Lenny Robredo's presidential bid held in Cavite Sunday. Event organizers say hundreds of vehicles as well as bikers joined that caravan. During her recent radio program, Robredo thanked all her supporters who participated in the weekend motorcades.
Pinapadala sa akin yung mga pictures. Grabe, nakakapangilabot. Sobrang pasalamat po ako na... Parang yung wholehearted masyado yung support na walang hinihingi.
Not to be outdone, supporters of Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno Dumagoso kicked off their own caravan coinciding with the presidential candidate's birthday. The motorcade traversed Manila, Caloocan, and Quezon City. Well, senatorial candidate Nery Colmenares still backing the formation of a unity coalition for the opposition. That's despite getting snubbed by Vice President Robredo in her senatorial slate. The last spot in that lineup went to Labor leader Attorney Sunny Matula. Attorney Colmenares now joins us here in the program. Nery, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Carmina. Good afternoon po sa mga viewers ninyo.
Okay, so let me ask you, what did the non-inclusion mean to you and to the group that you represent?
Well, the slate is a very important issue naman, but it's something that we've already recognized naman. And in fact, I've reiterated several times that it's the prerogative of the vice president being the presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. We continue to push, of course, for a... discussion with the vice president with regards to the platform and issues. And I've also explained naman na we need to inform our constituents, the farmers, the workers, the urban poor, and indigenous people, and everybody in the sector of Makabayan to what is it for them also. So it's not merely a question of what's in it for me, whether I'm in the slate or not. It's more importantly also a question of what's in it for them, which is the issue on the platform and concerns.
Yeah, how is the sector doing? Medyo kasi naging roller coaster the past couple of weeks, di ba? Kamusta ang sector?
Well, the sectors, the constituents ng Makabayan, of course, grabe ang ramdam namin sa issue. For example, rice tarification, very lumpo talaga, crippled ang halos sa the agricultural sector, not just rice, but even the entry of poultry products, for example. So very ano yan. Tapos of course, the workers are suffering ngayon dahil doon sa not just of the COVID pandemic, but the fact that they're contractual and mm-hmm. and so on, di ba? So ngayon may mga ano pa na no vaccine card, di ba? So medyo grabe rin yung dinaranas nila. Na urban poor, kasi lockdown ng lockdown, walang trabaho, walang ayuda. So it's very crucial for them to be able to see that vision na maiahon sila. So wala namang question siguro sa Duterte, Marcos, issue. Candidates like VP Robredo have expressed their sentiments there. Yung sunod na lang na tanong nila, but after, for example, presidential candidate wins, whoever, and if Duterte Marcos loses, what's in it for the next 6 years in terms of platform and concerns? So they're really asking also for details on that. That's why it's very crucial for us to be able to inform them on the visions and platforms, or at least the issues and concerns ng various presidential candidates for that matter. It's the survival and their family which is at stake here.
Yeah, and this is why you said in your statement that your non-inclusion does not preclude you from continuing engagement and cooperation with the vice president. But Attorney Colmenares, is this cooperation and engagement with her and her alone?
Oh, well, actually, we had a talk kasi Carmina already. We already had a talk. I think it was last Friday. regarding the vision and platforms and issues and concerns. It was on the very day that the announcement of the Vice President that Sunny Matula is on the 12th slot. No? So we had a discussion with the Vice President and of course her team. And we were very happy na nagkaroon ng diskusyon na ganon para nagkalinawan sa programs, platforms, and concern. Mm-hmm. We didn't discuss the slate during our meeting, ni nomination at all. And she didn't also raise, of course, the issue of endorsement sa kanya. I think she saw the need to discuss platforms with us rather than on the issue of endorsement. So we've had that, and that's a very positive development. No?
Kamusta yung pag-uusap nyo with the Vice President? Nagkaroon ho ba kayo ng panahon para mapag-usapan yung mga nangyayari during the past weeks? And when you were talking to her, did that sort of raise your expectations that that 12th spot was going to be you?
No. The 12th spot was off the table, and They relayed that information to us. They informed us na nirelay nilang information na yon to us beforehand naman. So nagkaroon ng usap. Pero even when we set the meeting with her, we already have a mutual agreement naman that the slate is no longer an issue. We are true naman to our point that the important thing for us to raise with the Vice President, and I guess she's also happy with that, is the issue of platform. So it was very good. It was very amicable and very, you know, may mga usapin na nagsalubong naman kami, may mga usapin na pwede pang pag-usapan ulit. And it was there in that meeting where we agreed naman na may mga cooperation aspects na pwedeng gawin. For example, with or without the slate, kahit hindi ako sa slate, hindi yan dependent sa slate eh. So the discussion on cooperation, for example, was on the issue of, kasi kami, she knows naman that we are against Bongbong Marcos. So ano bang cooperation doon to deliver the narrative of the ordinary people during martial law na naging biktima not just of the human rights violations but of the poverty. I mean, people should know that there was a 47% inflation rate during the time of martial law, etc. No, unemployment at least was 12% on the average at that time, and the poverty incidence at that time is about 33 to about four, even up sometimes up to 49%. So the people also suffered during martial law in terms of poverty, right? Is that the golden age? So may cooperation, may discussion doon on how to cooperate on this issue. For example, karma. Karma is in the forefront also of leading to ensure that Marcos, Marcos will sit in Malacanang again. Mm-hmm. So issues, for example, on anti-fraud, for example, because Makabayan, we have a trained electoral machinery of campaigners, but not just that, a trained machinery of poll watchers. So we need to guard the vote of all candidates for that matter who could be subjected to electoral fraud by the Marcos Duterte tandem. So we've had some discussions on that.
Yeah, yung usapin na we want Neri, dapat kasama si Attorney Colmenares dun sa slate ng Team Robredo Pangilinan, you're beyond that already. Ano ang importante ngayon? At do we see something like, because Isambayan is still there, right? Is it also possible that there will be eventually, an alliance of the slate of Isambayan and also of Team Robredo Pangilinan, which is distinct and separate from the process of Isambayan?
Yes, well, actually, the importance there is that we were able to discuss the issue of platform, as we've said before, not on the issue of slate. As I would like to reiterate, it wasn't even in the agenda. We didn't raise it. We just discussed, anong position mo sa mga land reform, contractualization, anti-terror law, all this stuff, right?
Uh-oh. So I remember, Neri, that was good. Yeah, I remember, Neri, the last time we talked prior to the announcement of who's going to get the 12th spot, you said that you had yet to talk to her about the platform, about the agenda. And now that you have talked to her, is it clear to you now and to the group that it is going to be her that you will endorse and represent?
Well, we've discussed the platforms of all presidential candidates, of course, no, other than Bongbong Marcos and Duterte. Okay. So we've discussed that. The last one in that sort of configuration is the vice president's platform and vision. So now we're going to brief everybody in our constituents. Huh? Kasi, you know, you see, Makabayan, we have about 6 party list groups there. And wherever I go, well, essentially, they will go, of course. So I have to respect their rights also to be consulted and be part of the decision-making process. Mm-hmm. So that being said, the slates are complete. The platforms and the issues more or less are there, at least initial. There are still room for, in fact, during the discussion with the vice president, the issue of continuing cooperation was discussed independent of slates and because they've already decided when we talk, right? So it was one reason also why it's probably not even on the agenda because they've already decided it's not me. So yeah. And secondly, cooperation also in platform, for example, and cooperation in the anti-fraud issues. Mm. So this is a positive development, at least on my part, on our part, no? Na, yeah. At least na-settle yun. And uh-huh. Hindi nahaluan ng mga like slate or endorsement. She wasn't even rushing even for us to endorse her. And at the same time, we were not even saying na, oh, please include me in the slate. We really discussed basic people's issues. And we're glad we have some forward steps in that issue. Although may mga iba pang pwedeng pag-usapan later on. Mm-mm. Just to clarify kung ano pa ba ang pwedeng pagkasunduan.
Yeah, here's the thing though, Neri, as much as you want to talk about that, other people still want to talk about what happened. In fact, there are those who are of the opinion that the necessary conclusion here is that you're going to go for Manila Mayor Isko Moreno because of your non-inclusion in the slate of Team Robredo Pangilinan. What do you say about that? What are your thoughts regarding that?
Well, we've always mentioned, Carmina, that what we are pushing for is a unified opposition slate because the tandem of Marcos and Duterte is really, really strong. We need to unify there. So was it Isko really? When was I included in Isko slate when they filed their certificates of candidacy? I wasn't there. And secondly, the ones who included me there were actually Calyodi and Senator Manny Pacquiao, right? So, siguro nalito rin sila. Sabi ko nga, na, oh, kala namin Isko, bakit dito? But, mm-hmm. Pero please, ano lang, ang supporters namin and the other people, we're really serious dun sa issue ng unification. It's not something na parang we're just mouthing it. So, parang, di ba, why do we want to talk with the vice president kung nakapili na pala kami, di ba? It defies logic naman, di ba? Why should we even try to push for it, di ba? So, hindi kami talaga nakapili pa. At yung mga missing ingredients lang kumbaga doon sa decision-making process namin ay yung discussion talaga on the concerns. Kasi we need to fire our people to campaign for a certain candidate. Hindi pwedeng sabihan na namin, oh, si A ang kandidato natin.
Yeah.
The next thing they're going to ask, so what is his or her position on, say, land reform, for example? Mm-hmm. Diba? Hindi namin yan pwedeng, ay, di bali na, okay na yon, just campaign, diba? So it's very crucial for us. Sabi ko nga palagi, we have a national machinery and we have members and votes, so may mass-based votes kami. Mm-hmm. You cannot just fire them up by saying, Neri Colmenares has decided, and so you follow everybody. That's not the way we do it. Yeah. I mean, other political parties may do it, but not for Makabayan. So,
Neri, let me ask you something. I mean, reading between the lines, this your position is unenviable because the burden is really so great. It's massive, the burden that you carry.
Yes.
But if it happens that your constituents want someone else and you want someone else, how will you reconcile that?
Oh, there's always, you know, for every time I'm in Congress, all of us Makabayan people in Congress, we've always repeated again and again. That is why we never went astray in Congress. Sa ilang termino ng Makabayan dyan, We never went astray there. Hindi nangungurakot, hindi kami nagpayaman dyan because we have always been attached to the people's movement. So the people's organizations, our constituents, the sectors, and many others, decisive talaga sa amin yung opinion nila. Kasi even if we have our own personal opinions, pag hindi mo makonvince yung buong Makabayan slate, and not just Makabayan, no? There are other organizations like Bayan, for example. It's a different ball game altogether there. Kasi mga basic organizations niya. Kami, electoral organizations kami. So we have, you know, so yeah, we will follow the decision and the opinion of all our members. For us to get the 3.5 million base votes, we need to convince them also on the vision of the president we are supporting. It has to have a process, Carmina, and I hope people will respect that process. Bagamat matagal pa naman ang kampanya, it's next year pa naman, we want to decide soon kasi as much as possible, we hope we can decide soon. And to please give us that break naman to also discuss. And I think very reasonable talagang request namin dyan. These are the people who compose our organization, the farmers, the workers, everybody, the women and the youth. Let us give us time naman to consult them rather than just decide on their behalf without even respecting their rights to be consulted on the decision.
But as you said a while ago, there is a process, but you're also hoping that a decision will be made soon because you're up against a behemoth here. I mean, you just have to look over the weekend. Look at what happened over the weekend. There was a meeting. There was a show of support. That meeting happening between Ferdinand Marcos Jr. and Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio. And at the end of the day, you have Duterte Carpio supporting Bongbong Marcos in his bid for the presidency. Ikaw na rin po nagsabi kanina, malakas ang kwersa nila.
Yes.
So what will you do? What is the game plan for you to be able to prevent another Marcos from occupying the country's top post?
Yes, well, actually, whether they go in tandem or they go separately, they're still a behemoth, di ba? They have all the resources and everything that's going for them. And their narrative in the social media is still overwhelming. Although it's weakening, I noticed. And the fact that President Duterte is no longer as strong as he was before, especially since unti-unti na siya naging lame na. But still, they're a force to reckon with. So para sa amin, pursue talaga. And I think the Vice President agrees with this. Let's pursue any effort at unification, if not with the candidates, at least with the supporters of each candidate. Na all the supporters will realize the need to unify para we can ensure that there is no Marcos or Duterte in Malacañang 2022. Alam niyo, palagi kong inuulit, this is a survival issue, ito existential in a way, di ba? Itong sa 2022. And we cannot demand from the candidates to unite if the supporters themselves cannot unite. So for me, that is the main thing now. While we will continue to attempt to unify all those candidates against the Marcos and Duterte tandem, we will also continue to unify and focus more now on the people who support those candidates other than Marcos and Duterte. Hopefully, we can generate that outrage from among the people in 2022, everyone will make sure that the Marcos Duterte tandem will lose and lose dismally in 2022, despite their resources and all the backing and the machinery that they have with them right now.
And finally, Attorney Colmenares, if that is your goal, then wouldn't supporting the presidential run of Manila Mayor Isko Moreno not bring you close to that goal at all, considering the ambiguous stand of the Manila mayor regarding the Marcoses and even this administration headed by President Duterte?
Well, some people call me the eternal optimist, but I've always believed that there is still room for unification somewhere down the road. Some candidates will probably realize they will lose this And if they will lose this election, Duterte will run after, or probably Marcos too, will run after anyone who opposed them during this campaign. So it's not merely a question also of survival of the Filipino people. It's also a question of survival of the candidates themselves. So is there such a possibility? I really hope so. In fact, you mentioned yourself, Carmina, na ambiguous. So ambiguous, we have a position, a strong position against Marcos and Duterte. There's no ifs and buts there. And if we can convince any of the candidates to veer away from any sort of ambiguous statement to the two, we will try to convince all of them. Now, do not be ambiguous here. This is something that you should be really straightforward here, that you should don't go for the middle road. Go for the jugular, so to speak, and say what needs to be said, that a Marcos and Duterte in Malacanang in 2022 is a threat to the survival of the Filipino people. And if only we can convince the candidates, if not the supporters of each candidates, then I guess we have a big chance, a very big chance in 2022.
But here's the thing, Attorney Colmenares. The other candidates need some convincing. There's only one who doesn't need convincing.
Yeah. So for me, you see, all this talk right now about trying to unify the opposition may no longer be tenable because of the exchange of words between the candidates. But I hope that at least the supporters of each candidate will realize the need for unity. So in that respect, I think it is best for all the unified opposition, whether supporters of Makabayan, supporters of Lenny, supporters of Manny and Isko and so on, will realize that at least we need to unite. So we don't need to attack each other, as I've mentioned. We don't need to criticize each other publicly for now. We just need to focus on who to criticize, and that is Marcos and Duterte. Because that's why I've always told Makabayan supporters, let us tone all this down, because the main enemy is there, the other side. And if we continue to bicker among ourselves, they just have a smoother road to victory. The Marcoses and Dutertes, I think, will lose in 2022. We just have to get our acts together to ensure that their losing will be really, overwhelming also, so that any chances of electoral fraud will be diminished. Because the moment it's going to be a plurality vote, na, you know, medyo maliit lang yung lamang, it's very dangerous. And I would like to think that there will be efforts at electoral fraud. So that's why Makabayan, our poll watchers all over the country, when the time comes, we really need to ensure that we can guard the votes to make it difficult, at least for the machinery of President Duterte, to commit a violation that can endanger the results of the election and, dissipate the support or the votes of the people for the opposition.
And just as a final question, Attorney Colmenares, you know, people were asking you and the Bloc to throw your support behind a presidential candidate, whoever that may be. In fact, they were hoping that you would throw your support, endorse the presidential bid of Vice President Lenny Robredo, even without your inclusion, even while waiting for that. And that's what Sonny Matula and his organization did. So now let me ask you, why can't you do the same?
Yes, well, probably the consultations of FFW with their members have already been undertaken a long time ago. So, I respect that. In our case, ang sinasabi ko lang, Carmina, is hindi ganun kadali sa amin yon. Look, the Filipino people, all voters, or everybody, they had a period for discernment before, right? Especially before the vice president declared her candidacy. So a period of discernment on the part of the voters and of the people is a normal process. That includes Makabayan. We teach our voters, do not vote for a candidate dahil artista siya. Do not vote for a candidate dahil sumasayaw siya. Vote for a candidate according to the platform of the candidate and the track record, of course, of the candidate. So very crucial sa ating voters' education, yung issue ng platform. So sana respetuhin din ang mga iba pang mga grupo like Makabayan, for example, na nagsistress din ng something very reasonable and very natural sa lahat sa atin, na discuss the platform and then you decide kung sino ang i-endorso mo. So yun lang naman ang hiningi namin na proseso sa amin. And I feel na hindi na ganun kadami naman ang nagsasabi niyan ngayon, especially since nag-usap naman pala na nabanggit ko kayo sa'yo kanina na nagkaroon talaga ng meeting at on the very day na nag-announce si VP ng 12 slot. At hindi na nga namin pinag-usapan yung 12 slot at all. Hindi siya agenda at all. Nag-focus talaga kami sa platform. Kasi tingin namin, yun ang pinaka-importante dalhin ngayon namin sa aming sektor. Hindi namin pwedeng sabihin, oy, 12 slot ako dito or 11 slot or 10 slot ako dito. Uh-huh. Dito na tayo. Hindi pwede kaming gaganon lang sa aming mga constituents kasi sigurado yan. They will ask us, oh, okay, nasa 12 slot ka or 10 slot ka or whatever slot ka. Pero what's in it for the Filipino people? And that's a valid question for all of us. And I think we should answer that straight face sa kanila kung ano mga posisyon ng mga kandidatong ito bago kami maka-arrive sa isang desisyon kung kailan yon. At sana naman, hindi naman, ngayon actually hindi na masyado nag-pressure yung mga ilang, well, aliado or mga supporters na mag-decide na tayo at hopefully they'll give us that time naman, especially since nakumpleto na namin more or less ang mga pag-discuss ng platform kay VP Robredo. At may na-agree na actually na cooperation with her team on the anti-Bongbong Marcos Duterte issue and of course yung sa issue ng fraud, electoral fraud. So with or without me included in the slate, etc. So it will go independently yung cooperation. That's why I mentioned in my statement the very after she announced, I mentioned in the statement, if you notice my statement there, we would like continuing cooperation. Because there's already been an initial cooperation, notwithstanding the fact that I was not considered in the 12th slate, Carmina.
All right. We appreciate your candor, Attorney Nery Colmenares there. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Continue to keep safe. You take care.
Salamat din. Kayo rin po. Maraming salamat po. Thank you.
Attorney Nery Colmenares there, Chairman of Bayan. Muna, thank you so much once again. Now, as you reported earlier, the Philippines is now classified as low risk for COVID-19 amid the downward trend of new infections. ABS-CBN correspondent Rafael Bosano now joins us with more details. Raf, go ahead.
Carmina, the Philippine Health Department reports that the country now has a low risk case classification after logging a 48% decrease in cases in the past 2 weeks. Health spokesperson Maria Rosario Rejere adds that the average daily attack rate for the country is now 5.89 per 100,000 population. The national health system's capacity is moderate risk, with ICU utilization rate at 53.15%. Now, the good news, all regions in the country have now seen a negative two-week growth rate, with all the six regions now being classified as low risk in terms of case trends. The other six regions have a moderate risk case classification, and these are Regions 2, Region 9, the Cordilleras, Region 4B, Region 1, and the National Capital Region. From October 18 to yesterday, the NCR had an average daily case of 945. This is 500 cases lower compared to a week prior. Now, in terms of new detections of samples infected with variants of concern, Rehera said that out of 746 samples collected from the months of March, April, September, and October, 380 were detected with the Delta variant, 104 with the Alpha variant, and 166 with the Beta variant. Now, what's interesting is that they also detected a sample that was positive for the B.1.1.318 variant. This is neither a variant of concern nor a variant of interest, but is in fact tagged by the WHO as a variant under monitoring. Based on the WHO's tracking, the earliest detected samples with this variant was in multiple countries in January 2021. The patient who was seen to have been infected with this variant is a 34-year-old male whose sample was collected in March 10. He had a travel history in UAE and arrived in the Philippines on March 5th and recovered from the disease on March 21st. Now, Rehera says there is no cause for panic. What the public should be more careful and mindful of is remembering to observe public health standards, especially when going to public spaces. The health official made this appeal after thousands gathered at the Manila Baywalk Dolomite Beach over the weekend. Rehera reminds everyone that based on guidelines for alert level 3, outdoor spaces should only be filled up to 50% of its capacity, and that what we saw last weekend was clearly not 50%. She adds that different agencies have the responsibility to prevent mass gatherings and calls on all of them to enforce the safety protocols that were discussed in the interagency task force. She warns that if mass gatherings will continue, the risk of transmitting the virus will increase, and should this happen fast and uncontrollably, we may very well return to stricter measures. Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Rafael Bosano there joining us this afternoon. Keep safe, Raf. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANZ's YouTube channel and on ANZ 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANZ.